We're just going to be chewing on some things for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Well, it's something I've been chewing on for the last couple of months, and it's just starting to become a reality to me. And in all reality, it should have been a reality to me 30 years ago. I told Diane that I wish I wasn't so stupid as far as the Word of God. The more I get into it, he's starting to show me things, and I go, well, I knew this. You know what I'm saying? It was in my head, but it wasn't reality to me. That being said, we're going to start talking about righteousness. And there's a lot in the Bible about righteousness. If you open your concordance, there's about 4 pages of just scriptures on righteousness. I think it's one of the most misunderstood things in the Bible. And I want to pick up, if you can, why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles. I'm kind of introing this thing. 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to start probably 17 or so. You've heard me share on this quite a bit. Righteousness is a subject that is very misunderstood within the body of Christ because we don't see it from God's perspective. Amen? We are so sin conscious. The devil keeps us this way. He wants us so focused on our failings, our faults, on when we blow it. You know what I'm saying? He keeps us so focused there. And he does that for a purpose. He keeps us there, or he wants to keep us there, so what? So he can defeat us. Because once we start to get the understanding of what true righteousness is and how it's implemented to us, our prayers will start changing. We will start to act like Jesus, for lack of a better way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are created in his image, and he's the firstborn amongst the dead. And once we start to understand what he did for us, the whole grace message and everything will just come together because it's in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? I'm just going to read this as we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You hear me say that all the time. Now, all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So he basically bought us back. That's your position. How you were bought into the kingdom of God is through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're to be doing right now. We're out there telling people about Jesus. Namely, this is what we're to be telling people, that God was in Christ. Jesus said this all the time to himself. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. I've been meditating on a couple scriptures, one in Hebrews, one in, actually, I got them right here. I'll just read them to you. Colossians 1:15 says, this will open your eyes. He, now this is Colossians 1:15. Now we're talking about right here, namely that God was in Christ. Remember I just said, Jesus said it all the time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is Colossians 1:15. It's talking about Jesus here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. When we picture Jesus, when we see Jesus in the Gospels, we see God walking on earth, okay? Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of God. That's what Jesus was. Now, start thinking about who you are, who's in you, and start thinking about how Jesus, as you're reading the Gospels the next time, start to see how Jesus responded to everything, how he responded to people, how he spoke to people. He never took condemnation. He walked through it. Remember the lady at the well? She was just hurling insults at him, yet he took it. He never responded out of negativity. Think about this as you're ministering. This will change everyday ministry as you're going through life. How would Jesus respond to it? If he's the exact representation. Amen? That's all free. Okay. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is so key. As we're out in the world, we don't need to tell people they're sinners. People already know they're sinners. People are so conscious of the sin in their life And who's bringing that condemnation? The enemy. Enemy's constantly bringing it to their mind. We're not here to condemn. What's the good news? That there's already been somebody who paid the price for it. That's what we should be telling people. Hey, look it, man, there's a better way in life, but there's also somebody's already taken all that grief, all that payment, and all that sin. And that's what he's going to get him. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I said all that to get to this. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. This is the miracle of the new birth, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We do not understand what happened at the cross. And I've been thinking about this, meditating on it. Remember in Numbers, you know, the children of Israel are all out in the desert, and the scorpions started coming, the snakes started coming and biting them. And Moses goes over to God and says, man, we got to do something here. And then Moses says, yeah, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole and hold it up, and whoever looks at it will be basically healed. And then you go into the Gospels. Jesus talked about that as a representation of him. Brass is a sign of judgment. That's what brass represents in the Bible. And the enemy, the snake, was basically the enemy. And as he lifted it up, and Jesus said this was a type of him. I could never understand this. I was like, wait, this makes no sense to me. But as Jesus said, this was a type of him, and it was going to be the exact same way. That's a picture of the cross. The brass was the judgment. The cross was the judgment. As we look at the cross, there's where the healing comes. That's where our redemption comes from. I've never seen that before. I thought it was just thrown in the Bible to keep us theologians all wound up. And I'm not a theologian. Did Jesus take our sin? Okay. We have an idea of what that means, but he made him who knew no sin. Jesus was spotless, right? He was sinless. Think about what this word says. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. Let that sink in. He made him sin. We don't understand that. We cannot comprehend that. All the sin from Adam and Eve through the Old Testament to Christ and to the day that he comes back, he became that. Is it no doubt that we couldn't recognize him? Remember, he was in the garden. He was sweating so bad it was blood. He was not agonizing about, the cross and what he had to go through and the beating and the crown and all that. That was devastating. But that is nothing compared to him becoming sin. That's why when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That's the darkness. It was so powerful. It changed what was going on in the natural atmosphere. It became dark in the middle of the day. That's how much darkness, that's how much sin that came and was placed on Jesus. Everything. I'll be honest with you, we can't wrap our head around it. We will never be able to comprehend it. We get squeamish even at the little horror movies. But all the evil, everything was laid upon him so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Did Jesus take all that sin? Did he die and went down? But what did he do? Glory to God. He rose from the dead. He took it, became for us, mine. Let's just get it right down to the brass tacks. He took my sin. Okay? So if he took the sins, are they yours anymore? No, absolutely. They're not. He's taken them. He became my sin or your sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Whose righteousness is it? It's God's righteousness. And what does he make us? We become his righteousness. We need to start getting this into our heart. Once we get this into our heart, it will change everything. Because it's the righteousness of who? God. Who's in you? The righteousness of God. And I know your brains right now are short-circuiting. I know your brains are going, no way. You know why? Because we're so conscious of the sin in our life and where we fail. And we should never, and it's prevalent within the body of Christ. We treat the body of Christ, actually, what goes on in most churches every week is we preach sin to who? To saints. We got to repent. Well, it's already taken care of. Sin is no issue to God anymore. It's what we have to do. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. We need to renew our minds to our in Christ realities. If we're not putting into us what Christ has done for us, once we get into this, I'm going to take you into Romans, and I'm going to kind of break some things down for you. But the bottom line is here, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's our position. He reconciled it. Let's understand what reconciled means. I'm going to give you the definition of that. He created a way for us to coexist in harmony with Him, with God. That's what reconcile means. When He says He reconciled us to Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Him. That means bringing us back to our original state. That's our position right now. I know we live in the world, and the world hasn't been redeemed, but if you are born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are as righteous as God. It's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. Amen? Now we're going to start getting into grace. Okay? He was not imputing our sins to us anymore. When He took our sins, He was not laying the blame or the responsibility for the unlawful act that we committed. That's what He did for us. Christ is up there seated at the right hand of God. He's already taken the sin. Amen? He's already taken that for us. He's no longer up there basically laying that guilt on us. So should we be doing that to ourselves? Absolutely not. There's where the cloud comes in. He justified us. Go into Romans. I'm going to read this real quick to you. We've all read this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. What is the gospel? And what are we telling people? As we go through this little study in the next couple weeks, we're going to understand how and what we should be telling people about the Christ. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God. So what's in the gospel? The righteousness of God. For God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go over to Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law. Well, actually, let me back up a little bit. It says here, up in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? And he's going back and forth, whether you're Hebrew or you're Gentile. Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all both under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. This is a list. He goes from 11 down to verse 19. He gives a list of everything that's going on. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. There is no one. They are all turned aside. They have all become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throats are open tombs. Their tongues are that are practice deceit. The poisons of apes are under their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace, they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, and basically this is a list. Does this sound like what's going on in the world today? Absolutely, okay? Now I want to go down to verse 21.
And it says, but now. Now, what does but mean? But cancels out everything above it. Okay, when I say, I'm a great guy, but it cancels out what I just said. So that's exactly what Paul says. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. It's been brought, it's manifest. It's in the light right now. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And what he's saying here is basically the law and the prophets were a tutor to get us there. It was pointing to the righteousness of God. And this is so key. Even the righteousness of God, how does the righteousness of God come? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the exact same thing that we saw in the temple. Remember when the high priest would go in every year, spread the little blood around, and then go into the Holy of Holies, right? And if there was sin in his life, what happened? Think about the guy that grabbed the ark when David was bringing it up. What happened to that man? The ark's coming up. David's returning it up to the temple. And the cart's getting a little wobbly. And a young man turns out he's going to keep that ark up there. And he touched the ark. What happened to that man? He died. Yet, every year, remember when John's dad had to go in and he was a high priest that year. And he went in. He had to shed blood outside and walk into the presence of God. That's the power of God was in that temple. You better make sure your blood is covering that sin. Otherwise, nothing holy. He'd be dead today. That's the only way we can come to the Father today, is in the righteousness of God. Otherwise, we'd be dead. Where is he? Where is Christ today? He's in here. He has left that temple and came into us. Would Christ or would God live in any temple that wasn't completely pure and holy? Who's in you? Think about this. Who's in you? That's the righteousness of God. Jack, what makes you a man? What makes you a man? Yeah. You were born that way, weren't you? How do you become righteous? Think about this. You're born that way. The minute you become born again, the minute Jesus moves into you, you become the righteousness of God. That'll change your prayer life. It'll change when we go to the Father in prayer. Think about it. He was the firstborn. He was the first one raised. He is seated at the Father's right hand. That's the power hand, okay? And what does the Word say? We are seated with Him in Christ Jesus. Is the grace message? Are you starting to see the grace message? It's not anything we've done, is it? It's not anything we could do. I mean, the law, they could go out and that only got you 1 year. But Christ dealt with it for eternity. He became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. I mean, I'm not making this up. I think it said it in the Word, didn't it? This is not the doctrine of John here. 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all men and on all who what? Believe. The minute we come into or believe or understand what Christ did on the cross, and he comes into us, we become the righteousness of God. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by what? What's the word say here? His grace. His willingness to use all of his power, all of his ability on what? On my behalf. When we get the reality of this in our life, it's going to change the way we walk through life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All these scriptures start to make sense, don't they? Why do I have to take it? I don't have to take it. I am overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. We start to see how we can walk in the authority of Jesus, we start to see how we can appropriate the promises of God. We start to see that when we walk into the throne room, it says to walk in with what? Boldness, right? We can be bold. Why? Because we're righteous. We're as righteous as Jesus. I know that's a hard thing to get around your head, because theology has told you that we're nothing but sinners. The previous part of Romans has been preached in every church around America 100 times. Yeah, we're sinners. But guess what? He took my sin. He became my sin that I would become the righteousness of God. Like I say, I've got 5 pages of notes in my mind. It's like a ping pong game. My head keeps going back and forth. Wait a minute. What about this? What about this? What about this? You know why? It's the enemy putting the doubt in my head. The enemy, he knows if he can keep me down, if this message does not get into my heart, remember we talked about our heart, that's the production center. If it doesn't get into my heart, he knows he's got me. He can keep me sick, he can keep me in bondage, he can keep me weak, and he can keep me defeated. But the minute, and this goes back to what I shared with a little bit with you before, I've known this for 20 years. But it's not a reality because it hasn't come out of my heart. I've been meditating on this for over a month right now. And it's just starting to get into my heart where it can come off my mouth. Remember, we only possess what comes off of our mouth. Right? That's how salvation comes. But the reality of Him. Yeah, I was walking around the church yesterday or the day before just praying, going, Lord, it's easy for me to see that He's taken my sin. But I'm having a really hard time understanding how I become His righteousness. Isn't it? It's easy to dump all the crap on Him and see that. But it's what He gave us. And it's getting the revelation of the God of the universe in you. And I've been going over what the actual temple was. And when Jesus was on the earth, He said, we're leaving the temple. That's why it was ripped wide open. That He said He would come and make His abode where? In you. He will never live any place where there's any corruption. And that's you. You didn't clean yourself up. He did all the work, and then He moved in. That's your position. That's who we are in Christ. His righteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. For all of sin is shown, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. And whose righteousness is it? It's His righteousness. It's not mine. It's not anything we can attain. It's His righteousness because in His forbearance. I had to look that word up. Well, never mind. I don't want to spend that much time getting to find it up. Forbearance, God has passed over. Forbearance. Basically, He looked over us, okay? He's looked over everything and passed over the sins that were previously committed. Basically, he's talking there about basically when they killed the little sheep, basically at the temple, and they would cover the sins. The forbearance is basically, he's talking about everything Old Testament, okay? The sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness that He might be the just. That word just here, and justifier. If you take it out into the Greek, just, justifier, and righteous are all the same word in the Greek. So in this, so you could, that He might be the righteousness, or the righteous, and the one who makes righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. I could never understand just. What's just mean? Just mean? Just mean? And I finally looked it up. In the Greek, there's no difference. There's no difference in the Greek in the word just, right, righteous. It's all the same word. This is just how King James worded it. So you could replace that word just with righteous or righteousness or the one who makes righteous. I want to take you over into Hebrews real quick. I want you to see in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, correct? That's what the Bible says. That's why they had to slaughter goats and sheep and everything. And that's why Jesus had to go to the grave. But I want you to see, you know, when Cain and Abel were out in the field, Cain slayed Abel, and his blood was up crying to God, wasn't he? Didn't God say, well, I hear your brother's blood crying from the ground. I want you to see what the blood of Jesus is crying about you. It's in Hebrews here. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Is that us? Yeah, it's us, isn't it? He's talking about to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. We're the church, aren't we? So this is directed to us, who are registered in heaven. Think about that. Your name is written in heaven. It's already registered. You're already there. Yep. You've got a little check there. The judge of all, to the spirits of just men, just again, to righteous men, made perfect. Think about that word, made perfect. That's what he did in you. He made you completely perfect. Why? By the grace of God through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Made perfect. You know, I don't see myself that way a lot of times. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, basically it's all through Jesus, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What is the blood of Jesus speaking to God? That you are the righteousness of God. That I've already done it. Remember, it says in the Bible, it says he's the advocate. There's a lot of legal terms in Romans. If you go through Romans, an attorney would love it. He's the advocate. He's the attorney in heaven pleading your case. Sorry, it's already taken care of. Sorry, it's already taken care of. Sorry, it's already taken care of. He is the righteousness. He's as right as us. Sorry, not guilty is another word. You're not guilty. That's the blood of Jesus. That's what it's speaking about you in heaven, and that's how your name gets written in heaven. The blood of Jesus. That's what was screaming the day he came up from the grave. He came up and says, hey, penalty's paid, guys. And they're all free for all of humanity. Remember, he took all the sin for all of humanity, whether we accept it or not. For he knew us before we were in Christ. He knew us when we were still yet sinners. He took. Doesn't the word say? For maybe a righteous man one might die. But he died for us. And we were unrighteous. Flip over to 1 John for me. I want to leave you with this. This should get your happy feet going. 1 John 3. Verse 1, behold what manner the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Think about this. Yeah, we're still trying to understand what Christ did for us. That's progressive revelation. This whole understanding of righteousness, we don't understand it yet. We're still trying to comprehend it. We're still trying to build ourselves. It says we grow from faith to faith, right? We grow in the things of God. That's not the best part yet. Beloved, we are the children of God, and yet it has not been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, that's what he's talking about when he comes back. Get this. We shall be like him. Man, my hair's standing up. We shall be like him. When he comes, he's going to see a little Jesus. That's how he sees us. We're going to be just like him. I didn't say that, did I? That's what the Word of God says about you. You're going to be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, we see him in the Word today, and we're trying to comprehend the Word in our puny little heads. And logic is the enemy of faith. We try to get this into our head. We try to know God in our head. But God is a faith God, and where does faith work? Faith works in our heart, in our production center. Seed goes, let's go back, we'll go back a couple weeks. Seed goes into the heart, blah, 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 it grows, and it comes, and then it comes out. We're trying to get it here. That's why the enemy holds us in bondage. Because we don't see as we are. We are what the Word says we are. We can do what the Word says we can do, but yet our little mind, and I'll use myself as in the area of righteousness, well, God, oh, that's what happened up here a few weeks ago when John was moaning in front of God. He didn't understand his righteousness. Woe is he me. No. We can enter the throne room boldly because it's not me. Who is it? It's the righteousness of God in me. The grace thing. It's God's righteousness. It's not mine. That's the miracle of the new birth. My hair is standing up. You are as right with God as you'll ever be. Actually, let me read this to you. Remember, faith and confession. You can believe in your head all you want. You can believe in your heart, but until you start confessing it, what? It never comes to become a reality in your life. You don't get saved unless you what? You can believe that Jesus Christ came until you confess with your mouth, it's not in your life. So confession brings what? Possession. I wrote this when I was in my office one day. I am as right with God as Jesus is, because it is his righteousness I am right with. I am as right with God as Jesus is, because it's his righteousness I am right with. That was day one. 2 days later, I got another one. I am righteous, made righteous with God's own righteousness. That means that I am as right with God as Jesus is, for it is his righteousness that I am made right with. And put it back up there, 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is what it's based on. I did not make this up. He made him sin to be sin on my behalf, so that I, you can change that word I, might, that word might could be I will become the righteousness of God in him. That should change your life. Exactly. He's already done it. See, this is what's so powerful about the grace message. He looked down through eternity. The day that he created everything, he gave it over to Adam and Eve, and he knew he was going to send his son, because he knows everything, to make me and put me back in the position that Adam and Eve were in at that point. That's our position today. Even though we live, where? In a world that's trying to destroy us. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, the world is controlled by who? The enemy, the devil. It says in 2 Corinthians that he is the god of this world. And that's why when we talked about in, a little earlier, we are ambassadors. Ambassador is somebody who's put into another foreign country, but yet has all the authority, all the dominion, and all the backing of what? The country he came from. Whose country are you in? We are in the kingdom of God, in his righteousness. And whose authority are we under? His. He's already done it for us. It's in us. The minute he moved into you, he rent it in that temple, and he moved into you the day you became born again. Everything that's in the Godhead is in you. I still can't get my head around it. The Godhead, all of his power, all of his ability, all of his righteousness is where? in us. It'll change the way we walk through this earth. It will change the way we deal with the enemy in our life. It will change the way we come to the Father. Did Jesus, think about this, did Jesus ever have a hard time getting a prayer answered? Why? He was righteous. He was sinless. Won't that change our life? We're the same way. I can see it in your heads. This is deep, isn't it? Guess what? We're going to be going over this until we hit eternity. We got to get this in us. Because the minute we get a glimpse of it, the minute we start to see who we are in Christ, I'm telling you, I was talking to Jack about this in the office. Why aren't we seeing the power of God? Why aren't we seeing the healings? Why aren't we seeing deliverance? Why aren't we? It's because we don't know who we are. Jesus walked this earth as a human, the exact same way we do. Yet he knew he was righteous in God, and he knew that the Father heard him. And that's the power of righteousness. See, we see ourselves in such despair and so sin-ridden that when we go to the Father to pray, we come in, well, Father, you know, we don't come in with the boldness. Jesus said, hey, look at Father. He went boldly to the Father. We come meager. I believe it is exactly what the disciples dealt with. Remember when he sent the 12 out and they came back and they cast out devils and all this, everything they were doing. And then they were back there and this epileptic came and they couldn't get that one delivered. See, that's exactly what happened to the disciples that day. And I shared a little bit of this last week with you. Jesus said, wait, well, that one comes out by prayer and fasting. We don't pray and fast to get God to do something because he's already done it. We pray and fast to get the crap out of our hearts so that the power of God can flow through us. That's what he was saying to the disciples. Ah, pray and fast. Start believing that the same authority that I sent you out with 2 weeks ago is in you today. But I sinned. Isn't that? Go to 1 John. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, we're going to blow it, but guess what? He's already paid the price for it. And he's already in us. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Well, you got the first part of it. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I think that you would just start igniting this truth within our life, Father, that it would become manifested within our heart so that it would come out of our mouth, Father. You said in your word, Lord God, that whatever we can confess, we can possess, Father. Lord, we want to possess your righteousness in our lives. In Jesus' name.